When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Milbury on a Bruins Thursday on this show in 1 hour tomorrow. Jelani Tavai as the Patriots get ready for the Rams. And Courtney has the rest of the news coming up right now.
Officials say the tests on Peanut the Squirrel and Fred the Raccoon were negative for rabies. Reminder, the two were seized from their New York home by the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation on October 30th.
And executed. In cold blood.
Yep, because they were believed to have rabies, so they were going to euthanize them and then test them for the rabies. Those tests have come back negative.
Greg, just for the December 7th, which is a day after, a day that will live in infamy, the date of the fun run, the Jingle All the Way 5K in the Seaport.
Yes.
For the Greg Hill Foundation.
Yes.
We need to recreate Michael Scott eating fettuccine Alfredo right before the fun run to cure rabies. You can do it.
We can do
Aria, wherever you want it from. It will be, I guarantee you, it will go viral.
I will do that.
I know it's hard to convince you to eat a cream sauce, but
talk about bubble guts.
Oh, man.
I want justice for Peanut, though.
Right. Me too.
And so,
and Fred.
And so, what is the news this morning?
Well, so the news is that they did not have rabies, this whole thing is questionable. Now there are also, I know that Curtis is usually the conspiracy theorist on the show. But there are people that think that maybe the authorities were there to ask about cameras inside the homes because the father and mother of Peanut and Fred, big on OnlyFans.
Oh, well, who isn't? I mean, is everybody in the world now on OnlyFans?
It's a lot of people.
Is everybody being paid?
A lot of people making money.
I feel like I'm missing out. Yeah. Is there an opportunity for, would I be able to make some money on there?
There's an opportunity for everyone.
Okay. Yeah.
Is there something for everyone on that app?
So the two of them do OnlyFans.
Yes.
And that's what they think was really going. So Peanut and Fred died in vain.
Right.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah. They're heroes, really, if you think about it.
Yes, they are.
There's no way to test for rabies before you execute them?
There's a whole thing about as well. Yeah, they say
you have to cut the head off.
Oh, did not know that.
If you get bitten by an animal that they think has rabies, you have to have some incredible number of shots directly into your stomach area. I think like 15 or
Ozempic?
Not to create extra anxiety for you, but that's what happens.
I did not know that.
So not only were they euthanized, then they were decapitated.
Right. So two innocent people put to death.
Two innocent
animals.
Executed.
Well, animals,
but
his kappa got detated.
Well, no stay of execution for them.
No. All right. Well, the investigation continues.
Yes.
Into the unlawful death of Peanut and Fred.
Rabies, also known as hydrophobia.
What do you mean by that?
Is that the medical term for it?
Yes, that is the medical term.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, theoretically, it should mean fear of water, but it is actually the medical term for rabies.
Wow.
How do you know that?
It's one of the things I've learned over the years, Greg.
Okay. Wow.
Many random facts up here.
Pat, I'll take $300 for useless stuff people know.
Are you guys Papa John's fans?
Do they advertise?
Yeah, if I'm down south and I can't get no pizza, I'll take the little garlic sauce or the creamy cheese sauce.
One of the great, some people are confused about how we built the pyramids all those years ago. Yeah. To me, the thing that will never make sense is that in the middle of Manhattan, they have Papa John's. where you literally are surrounded by some of the greatest pizza on the planet.
Yeah.
Well, that's because, Curtis, some people, like I think even Courtney's one of those people where she'll rather Domino's, right? Aren't you a big Domino's
love
fan?
Domino's,
so, like, there are people that like the chain pizza places.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a Southern
thing. Domino's made a huge comeback.
Yep.
Like, yeah, but when you live in, like, Curtis is right. When you live in Boston or you live in Massachusetts,
right.
Why are you going to Domino's?
Like, so, if you go to the North End today and there's an Olive Garden on Hanover Street,
right.
you would never go there.
No.
Yeah, but I think it's what you know. Like, for me, I know what I'm going to get with a Domino's pizza. If I'm in a new city or if I'm in Boston and there aren't that many great pizza places around Boston.
What?
There
what?
Aren't.
What?
Where? What?
What?
There's Pizzeria Regina.
There's
Broadway, Santarpio's.
Right.
That's three.
All right.
There's Pinocchio's.
There's probably
Cambridge.
A bunch of local ones.
Oh, I'm saying.
There's Halftime Pizza across from TD Garden, which is spectacular.
Never had that.
There's Nicole's in the South End, which is extraordinary.
Oh, I like Nicole's.
I've tried.
Isn't it great?
Very good.
Yeah.
Old school.
DMs and I go onion and pepper, and then we get a Greek salad. Right. I mostly eat the Greek salad.
Right, but just the feta.
Maybe one slice of pizza.
And I won't be shamed by this. Like, Boston's not known for their pizza. Sorry, they're not. And if you want it delivered, you know what you're getting with Domino's.
Courtney, we just gave you like seven local places, and I bet you people who have more, because generally when you find a good pizza spot.
Well, yeah, I could be like in Lowell, Espresso Pizza. I would go for that 10 out of 10 times. They don't deliver, so I would get a Domino's pizza if I needed it delivered.
No, but there's plenty of.
Does Santarpio's deliver?
Yeah, but Uber Eats now. You can get anything delivered.
Not
but,
all.
But I would put the worst house of pizza over Domino's.
No, you'd be wrong for that.
What?
So when it comes to the national chains, because you brought up Papa John's.
Yeah.
What's the order in which you rank them? Emergency top five.
Domino's number one.
You do?
Yep.
Okay.
Number two, probably Papageno's.
Yeah, not really national, I don't
think. Oh, really?
No, you couldn't get that down south.
Where do you have Pizza Hut? Mm. I think Pizza Hut is pretty good.
Do we even have them?
Yeah, there's a few of them.
Yeah, there's a few of them around.
I would put Papa John's number one.
You would?
I would, because I like their garlic dipping sauce and their cheesy sauce. Their pizza's okay.
Domino's also has those sauces.
I would probably go maybe... I don't mind Little Caesars.
I don't think I've ever had Little Caesars in my life. Like, where's there a Little Caesars around here?
They're kind of everywhere. Like, they're national chain. Yeah,
where's one around here?
I don't. I told you
that's the one that had the pizza guy.
Yeah,
No, I know the ads. I've just never seen one.
Yeah, I mean,
but Wiggy says they're everywhere.
The closest one to here is in Lynn.
Yeah, but I wouldn't go to one around here. You're asking me, like, I couldn't tell you where the closest Domino's is.
Oh, I could.
Yeah.
Anyways,
where do you rank 7-Eleven? They have pretty good pizza at 7-Eleven.
Great taquitos.
All right. Anyway,
we need to do a pizza taste test with Courtney. I want to do this. Let's go out. I want to do like a pizza bar, something pizza related. We have so much good pizza. Even in South, the Olympic is good.
We could do the blind.
Olympic's great.
We haven't done a blind food taste test challenge in a long time.
Yeah.
We could see if Courtney can pick the Domino's out when compared to.
Put me up against anything, I could pick out a Domino's slice so easily.
Because it's going to be the worst one
I've it'll be the best.
It's delightful.
It's not going to be best. Like, if I got bar pizza in here, it would not be better than bar pizza. Like, if I got Trading Post, like, went to the Trading Post.
Yeah, I would take bar pizza over Domino's all day.
But you clearly have not had a Domino's slice in quite some time.
But Lincoln Pizza, I would even put way ahead of Domino's.
Yeah, Lincoln's great too, but they're all so different. I'm saying that if I want something and I know what I'm getting, I'm going Domino's to get it easily delivered. It's quick delivery.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Here's a text on the Subaru of New England text line that says, poor Santo, he's married to a pizza peasant.
Yeah.
It's amazing how we can crowbar Santo into every conversation.
Santo likes Domino's too.
He does?
I think that's a for you thing.
No, we actually had to delete Domino's off of the app off of our phones when we said we're not doing pizza for a month.
Oh.
Because it was so easy.
A Domino's so halt? Easy.
Oh, you guys, is that this month or was that a while
ago? No, it was a while ago.
Okay, so you went a full.
Santo hasn't re-downloaded it though.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. What month was it?
It was a January, like a dry January.
Like dry, so you went dry January, when pizza dry January.
He did alcohol as well.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Yes. All right, so what's the deal with
Okay, so Papa John's is the fourth largest pizza chain in the U.S., and they're in a bit of trouble. Their warning report right now shows a steep drop in sales, so customers who love the brand are worried that they're going to start closing all of their shops.
Boy.
So just something to keep in mind if you're a Papa John's fan. That could be on the horizon.
Shaq, need more Papa John's commercials. Let's go.
This is Dave from Nashua, New Hampshire. Hello, Dave.
Good morning. I can't believe Courtney's choice in pizzas. Espresso pizza and Lowell is like soup on dough. It's one of the worst pizzas around.
Oh, hang up. Dave, I won't have you slander. Do you know that it's sweet sauce? So if you're not a sweet sauce guy, then you won't like it.
Triple E's pizza is good. It has a nice sweet sauce to it. But espresso pizza, yeah, you have to hold it with four hands. Never mind two hands.
Wow. You're kind of being exposed.
No, I'm not. Espresso pizza, I'm telling you, is a 10 out of 10 pizza experience. It's bubbly. It's sweet.
So it's more of like Salisbury.
Four hands.
So it's more like that Salisbury Beach Tripoli type of
Tripoli
type of sauce that they put on there.
Yeah, it's sweet.
Okay.
Here's a texter who orders Domino's and then they eat the box over the pizza.
These are people who haven't had Domino's. No. These are people that haven't had Domino's in 10 years. You guys all came at me
Domino's
2 years ago
recently.
For my mashed potato take, and you were all wrong. I'm telling you, Domino's. I'll die on this.
I've had Domino's recently. It's not been like
chance.
It's been within the last year. People get Domino's.
Okay, we need Domino's delivered this morning.
You live in Boston.
And you need the correct, it's like the hand-tossed. Shem, you like Domino's.
Yeah, it's a handmade pan.
Yeah, the handmade. You're being very quiet over there.
Handmade
30 seconds ago, I supported you.
No. When I know Shem agrees with me on something, he does not speak up on it.
It's constant, off air,
you and I have conversations about a plethora of
I love
topics.
Domino's.
And then I'll bring it up on air, and Shem's mute.
Well, Courtney, you can fight your own battles. You don't need a man to come save you.
What a way to change that conversation,
Domino's. I support Courtney. Domino's is the top tier fast food pizza chain there
Thank you.
Period.
Courtney's like the girl who grew up in Southie and never left Southie. And like, the D Street Beach is the best beach in the world.
Right. Better than Hawaii.
But I think you just have to.
It's very confusing when people call me pretentious, but then think that I think D Street Beach is the best beach in the world.
No, I'm just saying.
So am I a townie or am I pretentious?
No, I'm saying you've never been off your block when it comes to Domino's.
Like, Domino's works if you're at an airport and it's the only option.
Wrong.
Like, you don't, if you live in a city like Boston, the last thing you do is order Domino's.
It's so
her second favorite is Sbarro.
Get me a New York slice. There was an episode of The Office mocking people in New York that go to Sbarro.
Yeah, it's very good.
What's the best steak around, Outback?
No. Outback has a pretty good Australian steak, actually.
Who needs Moo when you got Golden Corral?
All right, moving on. Science has determined who has the worst diet. Beer drinkers, wine drinkers, or spirit drinkers. Now, I want to ask the room, where would you put yourself? I'm a wine drinker, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm a spirit drinker. I drink liquor.
Spirit, I think. I really don't. Beer really is, I don't know. Shime, you love beer.
Yeah, I'm a beer guy. And I know exactly how this list will play out.
Some people say, beautiful summer day, sit down, listen to the Sox game on the radio.
A cold one.
Nothing better than a cold.
Maybe a nice Sam Adams.
A cold brewski, but I just am not really a beer person. So,
I like a Corona every so often, but that's really. So if you were to guess which one has the worst diet.
Spirit, definitely. Beer,
top of the list. It's the beer. It's 100% beer.
Yeah.
Because you accompany beer.
The wine people are always snacking, though.
Right.
But this is for the beer people. You have
cheese and crackers.
Right. They have
a charcuterie.
A charcuterie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're the snobs.
Or Domino's.
All right. Well, wine drinkers had the best diet.
Yeah, I can see that.
Beer drinkers tend to have the worst.
Oh, they do.
They exercise less and they smoke more cigarettes.
Right. like my uncle.
They also found that beer only drinkers are most likely male, younger, and lower income. They have the highest daily caloric intake, the lowest level of physical activity. Yeah. They say wine drinkers have the best diet because usually what you pair, especially a red wine with, is a more balanced meal.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Does the beer somehow make them, like, get the munchies or the...
Well, they say if you think about places where you're going to be offered the biggest variety of beers, it's a lot of like salty...
Fried food.
Fried food, yeah.
Well, it's simple. It's the beers, I mean, you can go out and get a 30-pack of Natty Light and, you know, and burgers. The wine is like the snobby, you know, like you said, you got to pair it with... certain types of food.
That's the old school beer drinker, though. Beer drinkers have become a bit snobby, and I don't mean this as a negative. I just mean it as there's so many more breweries out there. There's so many more types of beer that I think.
But for me,
Nick Fitzy Stevens, like if you talk to him, he's not going to drink a Natty Light. He's going for this, like, you know, super hoppy IPA, right, and he can tell you all about it. It's very similar to a wine drinker now.
I would say, though, Greg, that beer would fill me up, so I wasn't as hungry. Like, when I would have a bunch of TNT, you eat, you're drunk, and I would eat because I was not as full by the amount of liquid it takes to get to the same level of beer.
Curtis, what is it? Beer before liquor, never sicker, or is it beer after liquor, never sicker?
Liquor before beer.
You're in the clear.
You're in the clear. Beer before liquor, never been sicker.
Bad blood. I'm with Curtis. It bloats me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes me feel.
And I just don't like the flavor.
No, it's the beer. That's the beer. It's the beer in the hot weather.
Rob
at the golf course.
I mean, no offense, but I do notice from time to time you, like me, look bloated. Yeah. So I'm glad to know. I'm glad.
Well, at least you know you're right there with me. It's like when somebody says you're going to hell, you go, you know what? Guess what? I'll see you down there.
Right. I got company.
I'm glad to know it's the beer. This is Michael. Hello, Michael.
Hey.
What's up?
So, Courtney, having gone to Boston College, I'm wondering what your opinion is of Pino's, since that's a fresh-made pizza right by where you were.
Loved Pino's.
Pretty good Pino's right in Cleveland Circle there.
The biggest slices of all
time. Didn't even make your list, though.
Well, that's not a national chain.
Yeah. But you were talking about some local ones.
Well, you guys were really doing it. So then I said, well, yeah, I could name a few local spots. But I'm just saying quality control, Domino's hits.
Pino's has been there forever, though. Probably there when both of you were going to Boston.
It was there when my dad was there.
It was?
Weren't there two pizza places, Curtis,
Presto's
when you were there?
And Pino's.
Yeah, and it was like a rivalry?
Yes. You couldn't go to both unless you were drunk and I did.
I love pizza.
Moment of silence for Mary Ann's.
Oh.
Yeah.
One of the all-time great college bars in the history of college bars.
It's the best.
I have to say, though, hot take, it's no longer there. I was a Rogie's over Mary Ann's guy.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
That's shocking.
It wasn't really a
place we went out. Like, nobody went out when I was there at Rogie's. You just went for nachos on your way home.
Oh, well, I did both.
All right. Well, is that the news?
There's one more quick story, I may.
Yeah.
An Australia new study said that LED lights on the underbelly of surfboards and kayaks could stop attacks by great whites.
Really?
Really?
Yes.
Are they afraid of light?
Well, it's not that. It's when they're looking at it from below, the LED lights mixed with the sunlight above makes it so that they can't see the silhouette of the board or the kayak, therefore not mistaking it for a seal.
Oh.
They should institute that immediately.
I agree. Right.
Or they should build boards with built-in LED lights.
That's what I think we were saying. Yep.
I thought you said people were putting LED lights on.
I think that
do they have already boards built with lights?
That's what they're working on. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now everybody has LED lights. You just put them all over your place. Right, so I thought you meant people were putting them on the bottom of their surfboard.
Yeah, I think they're building them in.
I think you have some around that mirror. In your TV room.
No, my game room where my PlayStation is. Yeah. I have them there. But LEDs, like, people are putting them all over the place. So when you said that, I thought like people were putting them on the boards.
I think you have a lava lamp in there too.
No lava lamp. No lava lamp. But mine's looks like it's from 2024, and people actually could enjoy going in there and watching TV.
Yours looks like somebody's office. Oh, you have the best TV room.
Oh, yeah, by far
in the United States.
Well,
America,
not the United States. There's some good ones out there.
Yeah.
But in this small little place.
Jones and Keith. Weekdays 10 to 2.
Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Celtics started out slow, but made sure to put anyone that was questioning them in their place with a 139-114 win over the Nets on the road. In the second of a back-to-back, Jason Tatum was one rebound away from a triple-double with 36 points, 10 assists, and 9 rebounds. The Bruins are in Dallas tonight to take on the Stars. Puck drop is at 8. We're going to talk to Mike Milbury coming up. In a good Thursday night football game tonight, Commanders at Eagles. Kickoff is at 8:15. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
35 degrees, sunny skies in Boston. Afternoon high in the mid-40s.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Milbury coming up at 9 on Bruins Thursday. During the break, we were accused of simping for Gerard Mayo during They Said It. 781 text, which says that basically we're ridiculous. Gerard Mayo stands up there yesterday and talks about how great Alex Van Pelt is and about how Alex Van Pelt is the number one factor when it comes to the development of Drake May, and we all just simp away and go along with it.
Are people just want to be miserable? They just want to be miserable in this life? Because when it was Belichick, never gives anybody their flowers, never gives anybody any praise, is just a miserable pee. And now Gerard Mayo gets up there week after week, gives all the praise to everybody else, stands by his coaching staff, and now you want to say we're simping? Like, give me a break. I think that we've dealt with Gerard Mayo week to week exactly as we see fit.
Right. But is he helping him? Yes. But is he the best option for Drake May?
Well, if you look at this team going forward, are you okay? It sounds to me like, and Curtis has been whispered to about this anyway, that Alex Van Pelt is going to remain your offensive coordinator. Are you take the quarterback out of the equation, because he's a lot of what he's done, I think Shime is right, is what you expected him to do, and it's the player that he is, not necessarily incredible coaching from Alex Van Pelt. But are you okay with Alex Van Pelt going forward when it comes to the direction of the football team?
As your offense coordinator? No, I'm not. And the reason why I say that is he's been in the league a long, long time, and he hasn't really been given much opportunity to be an OC, to call plays. So generally you would think like there would be a reasoning for that, even though like when he was in Cleveland, was he even actually the play caller as the OC?
He was not. Stefanski was.
Yeah, so you know, that you generally think if somebody's a good offensive coordinator, we know about them. We know about them, and they end up becoming, or their names are on short lists to be head coaches.
Or they're young, and they get their first opportunity like the Kubiak kid.
Right,
and then you
right.
See it. But, yeah, my thing, Greg, is very simple with the Patriots. They realize, Gerard Mayo being the one speaking it, that it's not going to change. So you best get on board. We've seen that Drake May has become a leader. He's addressed the offense. He's taken control of the team. And the person that is in charge of calling the plays for him is now being supported publicly because they're trying to go all in the right direction. But Wiggy's right. They could absolutely improve it. There's no way that you're telling me that at the end of the season, when Drake May performs the way he has, that there won't be offensive play callers that want to coach for the Patriots that would be an improvement over Alex Van Pelt.
On the Subaru of New England text line, which is 37937, find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. The situation is a tough one because the instability accelerated the decline of Mac Jones. When it came to coordinators, so you run the risk of doing that if you make a change there.
I get that, But when I think of a coordinator, like a good one, generally we know who that guy is unless they're a young guy like Curtis Brodeur. Like, we didn't know who Ben Johnson was. We didn't know who Bobby Šlolik was. But those guys got their first opportunities and then did well with them. When you're like an Alex Van Pelt type of coach, and you've been coaching a long time in the NFL, I expect when you say his name, I need to be like, oh, like a Josh McDaniels. We talked to Billy O'Brien. Even like Arthur Smith, who's, I believe he's the offensive coordinator for
The Steelers,
who was in Tennessee, and he was a good coordinator there, then became a head coach, didn't work out, went back to being an OC. We just don't have that same type of, when we hear Alex Smith, Alex Van Pelt, we don't go, oh, yeah, he was a good coordinator. Remember when he was here, he was there. Maybe he wasn't a great head coach, but he was a good coordinator.
Well, Mayo is essentially telling you yesterday that he's a great quarterback coach, is what he's telling you. Not necessarily that he's a great coordinator.
Which is true. Could be true.
What about this? I know I get the conspiratorial bent, but what if Mayo's trying to make it seem like he gets all the credit for Drake May, so he gets another opportunity and they get a new coordinator?
Maybe.
I mean, either way, where they are right now is a good position to be in. They've won 3 games. Many people thought they'd win less than 4.
Yeah, I did.
They have a schedule that is not difficult in the next several weeks.
This week, you can win this football game, but it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, I think the Rams are pissed, and they're talented. So the Rams are better than their record.
They have 2 great wide receivers, which is going to be an issue. You can put one of the best interviews ever on the radio, Gonzo, on one of those guys. Mm-hmm. But
I think that it's more that they have an incredible offensive system that makes receivers unbelievably talented. But the Rams are better than their record. The Patriots are worse than their record. And I don't like that for Sunday. But they absolutely can win. Then they have the Dolphins. So if they end up with 6-7 wins this year, even if they don't get to the playoffs as Courtney hopes, as we all hope, then you have to consider it a success.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. That's just that. And I think if the offense, and maybe it might be because of Drake May, continues to look good, unless there's something behind the scenes that we don't know about, how can you necessarily move on from Alex Van Pelt? Like, if Drake May continues to play well and look good, and we're
improve
like, oh,
week after week.
Yeah, improve after week after week. I mean, there were times we were like criticized Josh McDaniels for some of his play calling. But how can you move on from a guy like Curtis is right, and a coach that has turned the team around from 4 wins to 6 wins that when nobody expected them to do anything?
Yep.
I have a coaching question. This was, I don't know what network it was. It was a national show, but obviously the return of Bill is the big national conversation for the Cowboys. We talked about it earlier this week. If you guys were the Cowboys, if you were Jerry Jones, who would you hire? Deion Sanders or Bill Belichick?
Deion.
Wow.
Is Deion going to want to go with his kid?
Probably.
Like, and he's wagering wise, it appears that Shador is going to be the number one pick if you were wagering right now, correct?
I don't believe that.
Yeah.
That's where the odds are.
I thought it was Travis Hunter.
No. I
will double check that.
All right.
I looked this week. It was earlier in the week, so maybe it's changed.
All right, but so let's see who has right
if you're Shador, would you want him with you? I wouldn't.
Greg's right. The odds-on favorite to be the number one overall pick is Shador Sanders.
Good job, Greg. All right, so Jackson.
Now, he could, if Daddy comes, he could do the same kind of thing that's going on with Bronny right now.
Right.
Where save
Bronny,
that.
Bronny, where Bronny is in the G League,
right,
and only has to play home games, so he doesn't have to fly coach with the rest of the fellas,
right. But the issue with Shador,
I would say that Jerry and his sons and daughters hate nepotism, so I think they'll be against it with Deion and Shador.
But the issue right now is where he goes. So Jacksonville's got the, you know, they have the number one pick, right. They're not probably going to move on from Trevor Lawrence. They might move on from the coach. So you're saying Deion goes to Dallas. The problem is Dallas might not be high enough in the draft to get Shador if you think he's going to go number one. Vegas, if they slip to number one, then you might have a conversation there. Does Brady hire Deion and then draft his kid?
Well, it could. I just the reason I brought that up because I hadn't thought about it that way. Deion Sanders, which is shocking, has quietly had a great season.
Oh, yeah.
And what happened was he won early, he got kind of overrated, then people got mad, and then he got pummeled. What he's done this year has been really impressive as a coach. And if you're an organization that's really bad, I think we've been looking at the wrong ones. Like, if you need 2 to 3 years to rebuild, Bill Belichick's not your guy. If you want a long, steady rebuild, Deion Sanders in Dallas is a guy that'll be there, if you want, for 15 years. I think it's a team like the Eagles is a team that Bill Belichick would go to if Sirianni fails. Like a really good team that needs a coach that's got championship pedigree that will get the attention of the room. I don't think the Cowboys, even though we think they're talented, are that close. And that's why I think it'd be more of a project.
See, I think Dallas is that close, right? Because we talked about whether we agree or disagree. They have the talent, right? They have a quarterback, whether you think he's a top 10 quarterback or not. They have a pretty, they have a good quarterback.
Right now they don't.
Who they just established. What do you mean, the Cooper Rush kid?
Well, I'm saying that he's out now.
Yeah, but we're talking about for next year, right? And you already gave him a new contract, so he's your guy. Dallas is not going to be looking at Deion because I think Curtis is right where it's more of the short-term fix if you're Dallas, so you don't mind going after Bill for 3 years if you're Philadelphia.
I mean, a texter says this conversation is ridiculous. Deion versus Bill, how dare you ever ask the question? But I would take Bill all day. A part of the decision is always the business end of it anyway, and I guess Deion would excite some
people. Is it crazy to say that Raheem Morris was the right coach in Atlanta over Bill Belichick? In the moment, we thought it was absurd.
Right.
But they're 6-4. Like, so I'm sorry, Deion Sanders has a much better coaching pedigree than Raheem Morris, and we all know Jerry Jones is a star effer.
Right.
I mean, he would love to have Deion Sanders there. I think it's a
good pull, Greg. Deion to Dallas, but the only problem is you're not going to get Shador.
Well, maybe I'm just guessing that the two of them would love nothing more than to be talked about as the father son.
Well, if you go down
tangent.
That if you go down that road, the way to go down.
I really thought I said tandem, and then you know, listening to it the next day,
you have become this kind of tangem.
It's all good.
We knew what you were saying.
It's okay. It's okay.
The better team.
You know what? You need a Domino's moment.
I do.
I tried to get you a Domino's moment during the break, but they don't open up this early.
Oh, what time do they
have
open?
I don't know. It was
probably about 11.
Yeah. 10:30. I was going to have one delivered for you.
If anybody works for Domino's, we're at 83 Leo Birmingham Parkway. We would sing your praises.
But the better team is Vegas. Because Shador has already said, he's already talked about Vegas. He's already kind of like been with Mark Davis and kind of joking.
He has?
Well, remember he was on the sidelines for the Aces game. He was courtside and him and Mark Davis were shaking hands. And Mark Davis said, hey, you could be, you know, a Raider or something like that. And they're going to be in the market for
tampering.
They're going to be in the market for a new coach. And so there you could get Deion and Shador under Brady.
Would you right now, Wiggy, would you take Bill back over Mayo for the rest of the season, or do you like what Mayo's doing?
No, I would want Bill back.
We know.
I would stick with Mayo because
Bang!
I would stick with Mayo. The only reason why is because maybe New England might not be a team that is 1-2 years away. Where Bill, knowing Bill, right, don't you
want to go somewhere for a couple years?
Yeah, don't you get him for only 3 years? Yeah,
get the Shula record and then fade off into the sunset.
Anyway, sorry, just popped him up.
This is Tarek. What's up, Tarek?
Are we reading Bill Belichick wrong? Wiggy said that, you know, you bring Bill in if you're right there at the cusp and like the Eagles or someone and maybe Dallas, but you know, I don't know. Maybe I misread the 20-plus years I've watched Bill Belichick, but he cleans house and brings in his guys. Like, a lot of your roster is going to leave, and a lot of his favorite guys are going to come. And I don't know if they'll all be available in 1 year for him to do it in, like, that quick of a turnaround. It might be a longer 2 or 3 years for Bill, even if he goes to a team that he thinks is on the cusp, because he's addicted to his own guys.
Yeah, but I think his own guys are all gone now. Right? When you think of those guys, they're kind of all gone.
Yeah.
It's like when he got to New England, it was like he went with the guys that were already in place because that was really the foundation. All his guys are gone. Who's he bringing with him? If, like, let's say he went to Dallas. Who's he really bringing with him, player-wise? You know, there's
nobody. Yeah,
right.
Really nobody.
So I think he's going into Dallas and going, okay, I got a quarterback, I got a great defensive player, and
I got Matt Patricia.
I got Matt Patricia to run my defense.
Oh, he'd be like personnel again.
Well, he'd probably have him run the defense. I got Josh. If Josh is interested to come and run the offense,
Joe Judge is available.
Joe Judge would be the special teams coach. Like, those guys I could see, but his roster, he would have Dak, Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, Trayvon Diggs. He would have those guys kind of already in place.
Yeah. It's interesting, Curtis.
I mean, if they win Sunday, they've equaled the win total in six fewer games.
Yeah.
Without Christian Barmore, without Matthew Judon.
Juwan Bentley.
Without Juwan Bentley, without David Andrews. Without a left tackle, without a right guard, without a right tackle, or one of those is on Wenyu, so name whichever one you're missing.
But then won't that show you that?
Barmore's close to being back, right?
Yeah, he is close to being back. Well, at least that's what they're saying. But won't that show you what the quarterback means? Because if they can win six or seven games with this roster and Drake May, that's why I said it would have been – that's why the question that I asked, start of the season – Belichick, May, who would you, where do you think the team would be?
Because you think with Bill, if Drake May was, we're going on the assumption Drake May is starting week one.
Yeah, because you would have drafted him.
And you think with Bill, they would have an even better record than with Gerard Mayo.
Yeah,
under that scenario.
Yep, because I think Bill would have started him week one. I don't think there would have been this whole Elliott Wolf getting involved. Bill would have been like, he's our week one starter. And I think that you would have been in a better position because Bill would have, even though we hated Bill for like, he's got too much power, you wish the guy had.
If Bill were here, they would have traded out for four other picks and not taken a quarterback. Well, you know it.
Yeah, that ultimately is the number one, biggest thing. Would he have taken a quarterback?
He would
at number
not
three?
Have.
All right. We got to take a break. It's a Bruins Thursday. Mike Milbury will join us coming up in 15 minutes at 9. Maybe, Courtney, maybe listen to somebody other than the Parlay Playboy when it comes to your wager this evening.
You know what's concerning to me is he's changing his tune now. Like, he's been giving me, ever since I've decided to jump on the Parlay bandwagon, he's been giving me bets, but he never takes them himself. Now he's giving me bets. It says, never mind. I'm not even going to finish it. Yeah. I'm going to take this one. Well, what were all the others?
There's a lot of sharps who listen to the program. I would choose the sharps over the Playboy.
I try to help her out because
she only has $10 left.
Yeah, but it's about...
That's all you have left, right?
Left,
right.
Yeah, $10.
It. Going big or go home. I got to have a great parlay here.
Uh-huh.
You wanted a nine-legger?
Yep.
I had a great parlay that would have won you about $4,800 for $10. But... You know,
what are you leaning toward, Courtney?
I think I want to take the Eagles tonight.
That's who I took.
Okay. Well, you told me Commanders.
No,
so
no, but
now
then,
I'm
but then because there's more money with the Eagles. But go ahead.
No, what? But
more money
you
with the Commanders.
Literally.
No, not when I did my parlay. But go ahead.
When you did your parlay, you gave me the Commanders.
Yeah, and then I remember I switched it. I said, "Oh, go Eagles."
I don't think you actually said that. Anyway,
okay.
Jalen Hurts anytime touchdown.
That's a lock.
That's a good one.
Now, I've been given a few on the Twitch line. Smith over 50.
Got that.
McLaren over 50.
Got that.
Barkley over 50.
Got that.
Okay. Anytime touchdown, Brian Robinson.
Got that.
So that's six.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what I have so far.
See, that ain't going to make you no money, though. I got six more for you to get you some bread.
Courtney, what is that? 10 to win how much?
I don't have it actually in the system yet. I have it written on paper
Yeah, that ain't gonna win you no money.
I think it might. It's six legs.
I would stick with six. Like the it's a fantasy that you're going to hit on one of these 9, 10, 11 leggers. That's what Wiggy keeps getting sucked in on.
But that's the purpose of playing a parlay. It is. What are you betting $10 to win $50? What's the purpose of that? You want to go big or you want to go home?
Yeah.
Right? And I've hit a 5 legger so far this season.
Yeah, it probably pays you like $50.
Who are the 350
plus
yards?
That paid me $200.
Jalen Hurts, she said.
Jalen Hurts touchdown, Brian Robinson touchdown, Eagles to win, Devontae Smith 50 plus, Saquon 50 plus. Who was the last one?
McLaren.
Can we go back to fantasy football talk?
Yeah.
I think with the parlay playboy, it's go big and don't have a home to go to.
No, it's $25. It's $25. What it would cost you for a caramel macchiato or something at one of your coffee brewery places.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So I'm on board, Courtney. Look at the payout. Just the payout. Don't be trying to steal my things.
Yeah. 14 grand.
Yep. That's it. I mean, you know. It's
yeah,
like
Courtney,
playing
yours, the six legs would be 10 to win about 90, I believe.
Yeah. What are you going to do with this? See? Now I'm trying to help you out.
Well, it's because Saquon Barkley 50 plus rushing yards is like minus 1,100.
So work with me, Courtney. And yeah. I know I'm just a layman here. But let's say you bet 10 and win 90. Then on Sunday you can do 2 6-leg parlays, 45 each.
Right.
And or then, 3 6-leg parlays at 30 each.
Boom. Think right. about the amount of money you'll be able to. It's not just about tonight. You win $90, and
Thank
then this
you,
weekend
Curtis.
You're able to even collect, spread your wings.
Like, try to find a, Curtis is right. Find a way to collect 9 hams, and then the hams will grow. And you're going to end up being, if you want to go all parlay playboy
right.
at some point at the end of the season, then do that.
Shime, do your 6-leg parlay at $30 that you just take the $10 and put
and
30.
Multiply it by 3, so $270.
So $270, Courtney. Mm-hmm. You want what you want to do? You want some life-changing money? You want $270 that, you know, it's gone in 3 days after you order a couple of Domino's?
You don't need to get it all in one swoop, just as Curtis said. You can win 90 and then win $10,000.
How much
tomorrow?
Have you won over the year?
Me?
Yeah.
Exactly. Decent amount.
I
would have to check all the apps, but
hey, Shime, you know everything about how much you make.
I no, absolutely do not.
Okay,
Greg, it's my $125
extravagance.
12-leg
like,
parlay.
It's an extravagance.
If
you
I
know,
hit that,
yeah. If you hit it one day,
if I hit it one
then
day,
you're going from the outhouse to the penthouse,
right? And for $25,
I
would have. I would have. How would you say it? 10 times Shime's yearly earnings off
10x.
Of 10x off of my 112 leg.
Yeah, you got to hit it, though.
It's fine. It's Commanders Eagles. It's Thursday night football tonight. You could talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI, including with Jones and Keefe coming up at 10. We will talk Bruins with Mike Milbury on a Bruins Thursday next.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.